Hi, I'm Archit.
And I'm Shirin.
And welcome to Getting Lost with Archit and Shirin, a podcast where two amateur cooks,
if you say so,
talk about all things food, from ingredients, recipes, techniques, and lessons from our trials in the kitchen. Every episode, Shirin, our producer Natasha, and I will do a deep dive into one singular topic and talk about literally everything we know.
So what are we talking about today, Archit?
Today we're talking about chocolate. I share some fun facts, Shirin will teach us about how it's made, and we do some fun rapid-fire questions till the end. So let's get started.
Alright, okay. Just to be very, very clear, I'm not going to really talk about how it's made. I'm just going to like glaze over it. I actually, Archit, looked at your blog and I was just like, damn, there are so many chocolate recipes there. So anyone who's listening, if after this episode you're like, okay, I want to do something with chocolate and that something has to do with cooking, look at Archit's blog.
I think that's a fab idea. I love chocolate. I'm shocked actually that we've not done an episode on chocolate. And it's so funny that right before we started recording, my mom entered the room and she gave me like a chocolate bar.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. She has this like love for like Ritter sport chocolate. So she keeps on buying them and then she gives it to us because she doesn't want to eat them.
Fair enough, dude. Ritter Sport is really good.
I agree. But, I mean, we're talking after a very long time. You know, season 3, first episode. How are you feeling? How was like your break away from podcasting?
It was great. I mean, I don't mean to be offensive, but it was great. I traveled, worked a lot more than I should have, and it's been wonderful. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, same. I think we took some time off and we traveled. We went to Goa. That was actually a lot of fun. And then we also did like a very like tiny trip to Chell, which is like this like hill station in India, like in Himachal Pradesh. And we got snowed in, which was actually so much fun.
But oh also, no, like, how tragic scary. Getting snowed in with your girlfriend.
It was like really cold and like I was in a Baleno car. Like it's very hard to like think about how to drive down like a slippery slope. But yeah, I'm so excited that we're back and we're doing this. And, you know, I think we in general just needed some time off, but we're gonna like, we have a plan this time and we have like a very like rigorous plan. So the hope is that you'll listen to a lot more episodes now than ever before.
Yes. And lots of fun and lots of, well, I mean, I don't want to say fun facts because they're not fun, but facts.
Facts.
Like, Archit, do you have any facts about chocolate that you want people to know before I get into the really interesting stuff?
Yes, I have some facts and there are like so many. Like chocolate is like by far the most like loved ingredient in the world. And even when it was like discovered, when like cocoa beans or cacao beans, I would call them cocoa beans, were discovered, they were just like, people loved them right from the start. And typically, you know, like when cocoa beans were found, they weren't actually used to make sweet treats like we do before or like now, but they were actually fermented and made into drinks and things like that.
You mean like hot chocolate?
No, like they would take the seeds and like ferment them and then just like ground them up. I mean, it was very close to chocolate and like hot chocolate, I guess, but it's like far away. Like they weren't doing the right stuff to the chocolate to actually make a chocolate.
Wow, you are judging your ancestors. That's
risky. I'm judging like Mesopotamians. So yeah, sure. But so I the first fact that I have, which was really interesting, and it's not Mesopotamians, I got that wrong. It was the Aztec Empire, so like South America. So in the Aztec Empire, like cocoa beans were actually used as a currency as compared to like money. People would actually use cocoa beans as the form of money at some point because it was just so valuable. And that's really fascinating. Yeah, I mean, I see it. I would do it now.
I get it. You've known me for I don't even know how long, and you've seen me through various cycles of moods, yeah. Life changes, big decisions, and just bad days in general. And when I was your boss, mm-hmm. if you could actually like kind of exchange chocolate for your boss's good mood, I'm pretty sure you would.
I think I might have at some point. All right, so I'll go to the next fact before Shirin drops some more truth bombs. The second fact that's really fascinating is that West Africa is the largest producer of cocoa beans, and 70% of cocoa beans in the world come from West Africa, with Côte d'Ivoire being the one that produces the largest amount, and 40% of the world supply actually comes from this like very unheard of country in West Africa.
I'm sorry, it's very, very heard of. I did Model United Nations.
Only kids who
up,
did so Model United Nations know Côte d'Ivoire, and that's the only reason why we know how to pronounce it. And you know that's true.
My God, do you have a third fact or can I move on?
I do have a third fact. I think it's like very, very average. So maybe I'll like intersperse it, like sprinkle it into the conversation if I can find it. So I think we can move on. Let's learn from Shirin how chocolate is made, guys. It's very interesting.
It is. So you guys, when it comes to chocolate, it's actually very different from what we've grown up believing to be chocolate in India. I think anyone who's like my age or maybe even Archit's like at a, you know, cutoff point, knows that dairy milk, nutties, crackle, all of those things were like chocolate for us. But the fact is that they weren't chocolate. I'm going to talk to you about that and talk to you about where chocolate really comes from. And anyone who's watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory knows that cacao beans are basically the base of all chocolate. And actually, the translation is actually Theobroma cacao, which means cacao, food of the gods. So the journey from a bean to a bark is actually super long. And each step makes a huge difference. So first we have, you know, the cacao beans that I spoke about. We harvest them, ferment, dry, select, roast, grind, and my personal favorite, conch them. And that makes a big difference with regards to the final flavor. So a lot of you would have actually heard like, oh, this is a dark chocolate, this is a milk chocolate, this is a white chocolate. All of this is actually decided way before the chocolate comes to you. So the chocolate percentage is actually just the ratio of chocolate to sugar in dark chocolate. So if, say, for example, your label says 72%, that actually means that there is 72% cocoa liqueur, cocoa butter, and 28% sugar. And if I do a little bit of backtracking from the science point of view, and Archit, you can scoff all you want, this all boils down to the process called conching, which is my favorite. This is where the cocoa liqueur is actually mixed with sugar and other ingredients, and the entire thing is ground super finely into huge machines to produce a paste. And this paste is basically, as the Gen Z folks say, everything. When it comes to really just understanding and buying chocolate, you want to just look at the cocoa butter content. Look at the ingredients. There should be three main ingredients. There should be cocoa butter, there should be some sugar, and there should be like a little bit of either cocoa liqueur or something that's equivalent to it. And the idea is that there is no vegetable fat in it. And we'll get to that later, but like vegetable fat does not make for chocolate. And here comes the end of my monologue. Archit, do you have thoughts on anything that I've said so far?
This is like a complete like role reversal in so many ways. I'm liking it though. I think you should be like teaching us more things moving forward. But I really like the whole aspect of it. I think every aspect of making a like a chocolate bar is actually very, very artisanal in many ways, right? Like a good chocolate bar is actually one that's been and the price will always show for it, but it's the one that actually has the most amount of like interventions with it as it moves along. So
oh my gosh, you're such a snob. For me, let me just say, a good chocolate bar doesn't necessarily have to be a fancy chocolate bar. It can just very well be a memory from childhood, and it can be something as simple as a dairy milk, or as fun and exotic as an after eight. And I don't give a well, I wouldn't use the word, but you know what, whether it's kavacha or compound. And Arjit, I'm going to ask you this. What's the difference between kavacha and compound chocolate?
So kavacha chocolate, as far as I understand it, is basically a format of actually taking your chocolate and heat treating it. So you're taking your liqueur, your butter and your sugar, and you know, you're just like heat treating it to a certain temperature. I used to remember what those temperatures were, but I don't know now. And probably we should have done some research, but that's fine. But the idea is that when you take that chocolate to that certain temperature and then you cool it down, the crystals in the sugar crystals in the chocolate kind of react and they kind of restructure themselves, which makes them glossier and they make it snappier. And, you know, if you see a lot of these like French patisserie videos of like making like crazy like sculptures with chocolate, that's all done with kavacha chocolate because, you know, it makes it a little bit more malleable and workable. Whereas compound chocolate is a little bit more of like a commercialized consumption of chocolate. So because, as you know, Sharon talked about the fact that chocolate has so many different layers and factors involved in it, we're not always eating very, very high quality chocolate because access to that is actually very little. The same concept actually applies to even honey. Like, you're not really always eating pure honey.
Yeah.
For compound chocolate, the big thing is that you're not using like pure, like hardcore liqueur and then doing it. You're just using like cocoa powder and then you're reconstituting it with sugar and vegetable fat, which actually adds to the gloss effect, and it's basically just additive. So a compound chocolate is actually very good for like commercial uses because you want to use large quantities of it to feed large quantities of people. Overall taste and texture is fairly similar, and if you're not a connoisseur or you don't you know have that kind of a palate, you may not actually find differences in the taste.
Again and again, you're wrong.
Oh,
you can totally tell. And all you have to do is eat lots of chocolate. So guys, if you want to understand chocolate, just eat lots of it. And I'm okay with that. Just eat your heart out. That was a lot of information. So let's all take a break. And no offense, Arjit, but it's totally on you. Lots of information. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
All right, so now that we know how chocolate is made and we learned about kavacha chocolate and compound chocolate, let's talk about how, like, we cook with chocolate.
Okay, so
I think one of the ways that I really like cooking with chocolate is, of course, like baking it, adding it into different batters. But one of the things that I do want to talk about is the really cool recipe that we had, developed, like, I think, a year and a half ago, which was a 2-ingredient chocolate mousse, because it's like a proper celebration of just a pure chocolate. It's literally just chocolate and water.
Yeah.
And it was a fascinating recipe. People on Instagram loved it. People on YouTube could not bear it. It was really, really interesting how different the response was.
Listen.
Yes.
If I may, Arjit, I really enjoyed the fact that everyone was like, you're like, you know, he's not, but maybe he is.
It was so interesting. And but you know, one of the things that we learned from making that 2-ingredient mousse is that, you know, you can make that into a great frosting. You know, it's so malleable. You can actually just like plop it over some cake and like actually have a really thick layer. One of the things that I actually personally hate is or personally dislike, I guess, is to make frosting for cake, because I feel like it kind of covers the entire like flavor that the cake actually has. And I've always struggled with frosting, but I thought that, you know, you're like a very like pro frosting, pro cake person. Do you want to talk about like how you make frosting?
Yeah, I actually think you don't like frosting because you can't do it. I'm sorry. I've tried everything from a cream cheese frosting to an Italian meringue to just your basic ganache. And I have to say, you guys, screw everything else. Just learn how to make a basic ganache. And what that requires is equal parts of cream and equal parts of kavacha, not compound, chocolate. And then you can add things like you can infuse it with mint leaves. You can put some corn syrup to get a little bit of gloss. You can put a little butter to get some gloss. You can even actually add molasses to make it super mature.
What? Okay, define mature here.
Like, I've seen things.
Wow.
Anyway, here's the thing with ganache. There are so many ways to make it. And lots of cookbooks are going to be like, you have to heat the cream first. And then put the chocolate in. They are all bullshitting you, by the way. Because I've spoken to so many chefs and they're like, you can heat them both together. As long as then you whisk them. Don't let them get beyond a certain temperature. And then you let them cool. Give them that time. So all you need, guys, is cream. And this is heavy cream. This is not like your Amul Fresh cream.
30% fat.
No. 40.
Oh my
40
God.
Plus.
Okay.
You're now going to get this at a store. Go to your local dairy. Be like, aap jo cream banate hain, hame de dijiye. They'll give it to you. And it'll be amazing. I'm not kidding. So local dairy cream over Amul any day, in my opinion. And all you have to do is heat it up. Doesn't come to a boil. And while I know that I can choose different processes, I like to bring the cream up to a certain simmer and then pour it over shards of chocolate. Cover it for a minute. Then whisk it. Then add a little bit of corn syrup or sugar or corn syrup and sugar and also alcohol. And that works out really well. But here's a thing, guys, to know about your ganache. Ganache can take shapes, forms, varieties. One part of ganache can be like, oh, I'm gonna frost this cake. Another can be like, I'm gonna make truffles out of this. And another can be like, oh, I'm gonna temper it, like the chocolate, then build a ganache and like create like this, you know, whole strawberry dipping situation.
Yeah.
All you need to know, the higher the percentage of chocolate that you use in your ganache, the harder it will set in the fridge because more cocoa butter.
I think, Shirin, we're moving into definite ganache episode territory. So before we head there, I would like to, one, definitely thank you for all this knowledge. But secondly, I really want to pick your brain on your top three chocolates. I just need brand names and types. That's it. Three.
Oh my God, that's like you're putting me on the spot, Archit.
Three. And you can divide it however you like. Milk, dark, whatever.
Gosh,
but
okay.
I just need three.
All right. So I'm a milk chocolate girl. Everyone can hate on me as much as they want, but I just don't feel happy after eating dark chocolate. I love the Calibo Berry discs for my cookies. I have to say, when I'm PMSing, Cadbury dairy milk, fruit and nut, candy. Not chocolate. Lastly, do you know All Things Chocolate in Delhi? Yeah. So they have, and I forget what it's called, they have these really sweet names.
Yeah.
And I feel like the names add to the experience. But they had this one where they had marshmallows and they had sea salt. And I was all for it.
I really like All Things Chocolate. That's a really good one. They're a great Indian brand to buy from. So, okay, my three chocolates are going to be from a dark category because I love cooking with it and it's always in my fridge and we only cook with it because nobody likes to eat it, is the 55% Amul chocolate. It's by far the best one to cook with. It's surprising that it is, but it is. From like the Cadbury world where you have like, you know, milk chocolate and candy in many ways that we've talked about. I really like the rum and raisin temptation Cadbury. That's like my favorite.
Mm.
And I think it was because like, I feel like I had that before I ever had alcohol. So it had like, oh, such an adult thing, but it's like nothing to do with alcohol at all. And
dude, Ajay, do you know that I actually went with a bunch of my friends to the Cadbury factory in the UK?
Oh, wow.
And after that, for like a whole week, and you know, since you know me, that's a big deal. I didn't touch chocolate because I was like, this smell is overpowering.
Burnt your whole nose.
Yeah, I was just like, I love it, I love it, I love it, but I want to die.
That's very interesting. So my third chocolate is, this is a hard one. It's hard. But I think that it's a tie between two chocolates.
Oh my god, don't say Morde.
No, not Morde. My two chocolate, and these are like candy kinds of things. So the two that I have as a tie are, one is the Toblerone white chocolate. I think that that's like the best white chocolate there is. And a Bounty. I love Bounty.
Okay, I'm with you on the Bounty front. And 2 years ago, I probably would have like shooed you out and like convinced everyone I know to just like be like, boo, I just, but not anymore. With regards to, what do you say?
Toblerone.
What was your first choice? Yeah, Toblerone what?
The white chocolate one.
Yeah, it's not chocolate.
Of course it's not chocolate. White chocolate is just butter fat.
White chocolate is not chocolate.
Yeah, but it's part of like the realm of chocolate. Like it's a byproduct.
No.
It's like anyway. I think that's like where I am. I'm glad that my third choice then had a Bounty, so you can count that as my third choice.
Now, no, I feel like your third choice made me judge you so hard, but cool. I mean, I'm happy for you, Archer.
Thank you. So now that we know, like, okay, we know how chocolate is made, we got some knowledge on ganache, and we know now our preferences, and people can judge us, and please do judge us, honestly. I think that'll be fun to kind of see.
Don't judge me, dude. I'm super sensitive. I can't weep if you judge me. I'd be like, oh my god, this random person on the internet doesn't think I'm right. Wow, my life is over.
Shirin, do you want to get into like rapid fire?
Sure. Archit, I have a few questions for you.
Actually, I was thinking, what if we get Natasha to ask us the question and we both answer it?
Sure. Okay, cool. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
No.
How do we answer this though? Like, what's the format, Natasha? Like, are we...
I'll tell you. Huh? I'll tell you.
Please do.
So I'll ask you 5 or maybe 6 questions. So in the first one, Shirin answers first, Archit answers second, then in the second one, Archit answers first, Shirin answers next, and so on. Got it?
And then
got it.
Will you judge the winner as well, please? Like, do have to do that?
Yeah, I'll obviously pick whoever answers the same as my answer would be. Okay, are you guys ready? That was so stressful.
Yes, very ready.
Okay. Shirin, are you ready?
Always.
Okay, cool. So the first question is for Shirin. Shirin, chocolate chips or chocolate chunks?
Always chunks, because I'm here for the surprises of how they melt. And Natasha, I'm not afraid of hard work, which is what it takes to cut chunks.
Fair. I take that. Ajit?
I think it's definitely chunks, because you can create your own journey with a chunk as compared to a chip. Chip is defining what it can do for you.
Okay, both of you get negative points for that answer.
What the fuck?
The answer I was expecting was chocolate shards. Shards.
Hey, don't be a Phoebe. This is not that game.
I'm so funny. Okay, cool. Archit, next question is for you. Mint and chocolate, yes or no?
No.
For me, 100% yes, dude. When I was traveling in Mexico, I bought some at the airport and I kept it with us for the entire trip. And to a point where it melted in my handbag, soiled my wallet. It was a problem. But I was like, yeah, after it, to main khaungi.
Okay, full marks to you there.
I see this. I see myself
Shirin,
losing.
Next question is for you. What do you think has been the coolest innovation when it comes to chocolate?
Anything with alcohol, I mean, if I may. Like,
okay,
Anton Berg.
Yeah.
What's your favorite chocolate when it comes to liqueur chocolates?
Okay, I don't know the name, but I remember that once one of my friends came back from some random country and brought me back these little chocolates which were shaped like little bottles, and they were filled with liqueur, and I'm still so fascinated by them, because every time I bit into one, it was like having a shot. I loved it.
Yeah.
I hate those chocolates.
Maybe it was candy and not chocolate. Who the freaking hell knows?
I hate those
chocolates. And cares.
Those
those are the best chocolates. Those are literally the best chocolates. Arjit, same question for you.
I think the coolest innovation in chocolate is the invention of Kovacher chocolate. And Nutties.
My God, you're so
mean.
Boo!
And Nutties. Nutties is like by far the best chocolate. It's the best combination of caramel and chocolate. Nothing beats it. People don't have any idea. Like Maltesers is nothing next to a Nutty.
8 seconds. One second. They're very different. But guys, Archit has done multiple experiments with Nutties in cookie dough and found success. Look, now this is a guy who doesn't like find success in too many other places, okay? So wow, this is a big deal.
This is these late night podcast recordings, I feel like, have just backfired on me. I should change always. The setup.
Yeah, but like Maltesers are very different, and anyone who likes Maltesers would know.
Okay, cool. So what do you think has been your biggest disaster when it comes to using chocolate in the kitchen?
Well, I have to say that it's always going to come down to the fact that I was 8 or 9 years old, couldn't crack an egg, knew how to bake cake, didn't know how to crack an egg. Straight up went to my mom and I was like, "Mama, I know you're sleeping, but can I just put the eggs like that?" It was a chocolate cake. So yeah, my first cake was a cake with eggshells. And that's my chocolate story. Things, by the way, Natasha, have only gone uphill since then.
My chocolate disaster is so there's this friend of ours who kept on telling us that they're like they have like gluten allergies, and we didn't believe them. This was in college, because like we fed them like gluten multiple times and nothing happened to them. And then this one time we were doing like a fondue, and they like, we had to like actually make a bowl just for her, and she had, because we couldn't dip like bread into it, so we made like a chocolate fondue just for her. But like whenever she was looking away, we'd start dipping it, and she actually went into anaphylactic shock the first time we did that. I was like, oh my god, this girl wasn't lying about her allergies. Not my highest moment, but yeah, that happened.
Okay.
Cool. I think that brings us to the end of Rapid Fire. Thank you very much. Interesting stories from both of you. But I think Shirin's answers were closer to my personal preferences, and that's how things work. So Shirin, you win the chocolate hamper. I'll send you something from Ferns and Petals.
Do not buy me that. But also
Dairy Milk and Kit Kat only.
Yeah. Shudanar, Crackle, Kit Kat, do it.
Alright guys, I think that we are at the end of our first episode of season 3. We are still getting into the groove, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And as always, do follow us at the rate Archit Lost, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. See you.
Bye.
This episode of Getting Lost with Archit and Shirin is written and conceptualized by Shirin Rai Gupta and Archit Agarwal. It's produced and edited by Natasha Rati Kapoor.